This is number seven. Now we want to turn our attention to a very important aspect of church life and conflict within the church that is not spoken of very often, or it's not very well known in most church circles, but relates very well to the design of the church, the structure of the church, and actually the goals and the various dimensions of the church, and that is organizational development. And to help me discuss this is Alan Myers. He's here with us today, and we're going to be interacting about this concept and its importance. And Alan has many years of experience and training in organizational development. And so we're going to pick his brain for a little bit and define what organizational development is, how it relates to the church, and some ways that you can implement organizational development strategies into your church life to help your church reach its goals and be the best it can be for the cause of Christ. And so we're going to turn to Alan Myers, who works for the United States government and does organizational development, consulting and training on a regular basis. So, Alan, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you, Terry. I do want to say one thing. I mean, even though I've been doing this field now for the last 12 or so years, I don't consider myself an expert in the field, and I'm learning things new every day. And I guess what I'm here today is I'm going to share my perspectives on this issue and give you some of the learnings that I picked up, and not to really be so when you say I don't want to consider myself an expert, I'm just a learner, if you will, in this field, and I'm happy to share that stuff with you.
Thank you, Alan. And, you know, first, Peter tells us in his writings that the moment that we stop learning, and he exhorts us to add knowledge to our faith, and the moment we stop learning, we become useless in the kingdom of God. And so I appreciate that attitude, that even though you have many skills and have learned many things, you're still willing to humble yourself to learn even more things to enable yourself to be a more effective servant for Christ. Well, Alan, what in the world is organizational development? I mean, that's a big term. We often associate it with businesses and organizations, and it might be a scary term for many people. So let's begin, before we get into how it relates to the church, of talking about a definition of organizational development.
Terry, I just want to make one point of clarification there. Actually, this is a common thing that most people think, well, it's organizational development. It seems like we're splitting hairs there, but actually the field itself is called organization development, as it's termed. And that is actually a professional practice that people get into. Now let me kind of define, we're going to define what they mean, but in a nutshell, organizational development is anything you do within an organization that improves the life of the organization. The difference between organization development and organizational development is the fact that organization development, or what we call as OD, deals with systemic, top-down, and grassroots change in an organization. And you do that in many, many ways, but there's a process by which we're going to talk about later that you actually practice organization development, or OD, we're going to call it now, for now on.
Alan, if I'm understanding you correctly, the difference between organizational development and organization development is a very fine line. And if I could summarize to see if what you said, it would be this, that organizational development would be where an individual leader at the top would make a unilateral decision and make changes within the organization. In other words, develop it, but there would not be any the participatory process or any information from the subsystems within the organization. So that would be organizational development. With organization development, that leader may do that and be doing organization development by seeking information and input from the various subunits within the organization, from key leaders and people, and it's a participatory, it's an organization development because it's a participatory process in which the organization or the church or the Christian business or whatever it is involved in the development of the organization itself.
Yes, Terry. Simply put, OD, organization development, assumes that the people in the system know what's best for the organization. And you see that in a lot of firms and churches now where you do have very strong leadership at the top, and they're making decisions. However, the leadership always is looking for, what are the systems thinking in the organization? For instance, I know Bill Hybels in Willow Creek Community Church does this quite frequently. He'll have strategic planning sessions with his staff, and then they'll go out with that information to get feedback from church members about that type. But that is a strategy of organization development. And you're absolutely right. You summed it up just fine. And we'll go in further detail about some of the other key elements in OD and what pastors can do with that information to make their churches and organizations more effective. Terry, let me go further and actually give you a couple of classical definitions of organization development. One of the definitions that I actually like and use quite a bit is from the French and Bell book. It's actually titled Organization Development. And this is what French and Bell say about the field. Organization development is a top management supported long-range effort to improve an organization's problem-solving and renewal processes, particularly through a more effective and collaborative diagnosis and management of organizational culture, with special emphasis on formal work team, temporary team, intergroup culture, with the assistance of a consultant slash facilitator and the use of a theory and technology of applied behavioral science, including action research. Terry, there's also a couple other definitions which I like that kind of give more of a flavor for other things. Beckert in 1969 said, organization development is an effort, number one, planned, number two, organization-wide, three, managed from the top, four, increase organization effectiveness, and health through planned interventions in the organization's processes using behavioral science knowledge. Now, that sounds like a pretty interesting definition, and we will explain these things, too. But let me also talk about what Warren Bennis said, who's a big leadership writer. Organization development is a response to change, a complex educational strategy intended to change the beliefs, attitudes, values, and structure of an organization so that they can better adapt to new technologies, markets, challenges, and the dizzying effect of change itself.
Alan, thank you. And for the benefit of the listener, I may want to point out something that I'm sure they've picked up on already, that you're using terms such as top management and a lot of words that have to do with the business realm. And really, OD came from or rose from the entire business leadership arena. And when you think about it, business really keeps things going on the earth. I mean, we produce products which produce jobs, which produces capital and money so people can spend, and it keeps the economy going and things. So business has a vested interest in being the best they can be for many ways, for the longevity of the company and so forth. Now, there's not a lot of good books, Christian books, by Christian authors taking these principles and applying them to the church. There's a few, but it's going to be incumbent upon the listener to make a transition here in their mind between some of these principles, and we'll try to help them do that, but to take these OD principles and apply them to the church. So, I mean, we don't speak in the church of top managers. We don't think like that, because Christ calls us to be servants, and even if we are managers, we only manage our stewards of what Christ has given us. But we do have something called leaders or elders or deacons, and so we can make the appropriate connections here. And so I just want to point that out for the listener, because even though what we're talking about originated and comes from a business environment, it is very, very practical and applicable to the church itself, even though the listener will have to make some of these connections.
Terry, you're absolutely right. And then we also have to realize, too, OD also not only has its roots from the business world of organizations, starting with the Industrial Revolution in reality. However, it also has its roots in group work. And in the 20th century, a lot of research on how groups operate and those types of things. And I think that research is also very applicable to the church. And you're finding a lot of churches actually taking on that theory. What I'd like to do is kind of let's bring it back to more of a reality and define some key terms that we're going to be using throughout this tape section. Number one, key terms used in OD. The number one thing that we think about when you talk about OD is the word change. Changing from the status quo. Now, organizations and an organization such as the church, I mean, the church is an organization, is always looking to change because we have to change to our times. We have to, even though we have a message of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to figure out a way how we can bring that message to the modern day man, modern day person. And by doing that, that means we have to change how we do business, if I can use that term. And by doing such, then we have to look at not only how we relate to one another, which Christ commands us to love one another, but also how we relate to other people. You know, Terry, the other issue with the change term is that there's two different types of change. The one type of change is called what we call beta change, which is taking more of an incremental variable progress. Okay, we're going to make these changes. Many people, I'm sure, if they're in the business world, they've heard of this total quality management. And under that philosophy is incremental changes in processes to improve a product. Well, you can also do that in the church. Okay, you can also say we're going to change the way we do Sunday school. Okay, but rather than making a radical change toward, well, we're no longer going to have classrooms. People are going to go out in the playground. And I mean, I'm talking about radical here. People are going to do something totally different. Well, you can't necessarily get people to buy in on that unless you make incremental changes. The other point of change is this whole thing of gamma change, which requires a whole set of going in sometimes an opposite direction or making some type of radical shift that an organization has not done before. And so it's what we call a transformational change. Or a radical alteration from the status quo to a quantum leap or a paradigm shift. I know a lot of churches now are struggling with this. I know of one church in the Southeast who is went from a very conservative, very traditional worship and also approach to ministry. They all of a sudden said, well, we're going to become a seeker-friendly church. That means they got rid of the pews, they put a band on stage, they did all these things, and guess what happened? Well, and most of the people left. They could not relate to the change, and the pastor also did this unilaterally. So, that's what we call a paradigm shift, maybe that should have been taken care of as an incremental change. Terry, the next term I'd like to talk about is this whole notion of change agent. I know in the government agency which I work in, which provides health care to Native Americans all through the country, we have physicians and all those types of people. And we have a few people who are not consultants like me. This is my full-time job. But we also have what we call, we're in the process of training this whole idea of change agent. And that's really somebody who has an opportunity to influence change in the organization. Somebody who's well-respected, who's in a leadership position. Doesn't have to be the top leader or the pastor. But somebody who's well-respected, who has some influence in processes in the organization. can become that person. Typically, what we do is most people call in an outsider like myself, say, Alan, I got a problem with my organization. Go fix it for me. And what happens as a result is that they don't want any part in the process. And what the change agent is that, okay, you call in an external person. The expectation is that the person or the client, which I'll explain what that is later, is also going to be the change agent. And how we could do this, a pastor could call me in and say, I need some help here. My church is going downhill. People are upset. They're in conflict. What can I do? And so, and that will bring me to my next point of being a client. And the client is that person, it's not in the, what we consider, okay, you know, a business kind of partnership. When it comes, it really is, in OD circles, we ask a lot, who's my client? The reality is, it's a person or the group of people. This we talk about subsystems later. It could be an entire subsystem that's going to be influenced by the change. Your client is a person who has the most to gain or the most to lose from your particular change initiative. You need to get those people on board with whatever you're doing. Let's say you're a change agent and you happen to be the pastor. And you want to make a radical, you want to start an adult education program. Right now you've had a successful Sunday school program and you want to kind of vary that approach to also include more educational opportunities for adults. Well, your best bet was to talk with your Sunday school superintendent, because that person has years and years of experience in dealing with kids. They may be able to provide some input in setting up how you want to do it. And so a client is very important in this whole process, because without the client, you don't have OD. Another term, what we typically will talk about, and we talk about this in church circles as well, is culture. Okay, when you look at a culture of an organization, you're really talking about the rites and rituals of the organizational life. And actually, there's a very good book out by Edgar Schein, Leadership and Organizational Culture, 1985. And he talks about culture, he defines it as this: basic assumptions and beliefs that are shared by members of an organization that operate unconsciously and that define in a basic taken-for-granted fashion an organization's view of itself and its environment. These assumptions and beliefs are learned responses to a group's problems. They come to be taken for granted because they solve those problems repeatedly and reliably. And that's essentially culture. And first thing when I do, when I look at, that's what I look at, is what is the culture of the organization, and can I define what that is? The next term that we use a lot in OD is called what we call an intervention. And an intervention is a change effort or a change process. It implies an intentional entry into an ongoing system for the purpose of initiating or introducing change. We talked about organizational development. That's also, we can use organizational development interventions as well. But in the purpose of doing it OD, we explained that on the outset. A sponsor is someone who underwrites, legitimizes, or champions a change effort for or OD intervention. Stakeholder, one who has an interest in an OD intervention. Stakeholders may include customers, suppliers, distributors, employees, government, in church life. It wouldn't necessarily be government regulators, but it could be, especially when you're talking about building new churches. You have to conform to government regulations and codes and those types of things. So they could be stakeholders. Subsystem. And Terry and I are actually going to talk a lot about what does that mean, this whole idea of systems thinking. Well, simply put, a subsystem is a part of a system. In one sense, subsystems of an organization are what we call as a system. May include work units, departments, or divisions. In another sense, subsystems may cut across an organization and encompass activities, processes, or structures. It is thus possible to focus on an organization's maintenance, adaptive, or managerial subsystems. And that's taken from Katz and Kahn, 1978. By the way, I want to make sure I give proper credit. I'm getting these terms and these definitions out of a book called Practicing Organization Development, A Guide for Consultants.
Thanks, Alan. Let me just summarize here, because the whole point that we're trying to do now is to give the listener an idea of what organization development is. So we've now defined that, and now we're giving some terms which help them to understand some key components of the process and the system. And one of those that you mentioned was change. Anytime we depart from the status quo, that's involved in organization development. There's usually a change agent that you had mentioned, someone who's responsible for beginning and maintaining the change. There's also, you had mentioned the term client, which in the religious realm could very well be the parishioner, the attendees, and those could be the choir members and such. Those people or groups whose interest the change primarily affects or services. Then you have the term culture, which I think is... Everybody kind of knows what that is. You can go into a church often and see very quickly what the culture is, some of those basic unconscious assumptions and beliefs that are shared by the members of the church. You also talked about intervention, and that's a very key term in organization development. Obviously, if you're going to be doing change and you have a change agent and people are going to be affected and you're trying to change the culture, there has to be some sort of intervention to get the change process going. You'd mentioned the term sponsor, and that's just someone who backs or champions the cause of change or the organization development intervention that's occurring. You talked about stakeholders, and that would refer to anybody in the church who would have an interest in the intervention that's taking place. And then we talked about very quickly the term subsystem, which is a part of a larger system. And we're going to find that in the church, there are many, many subsystems within the term church, which will, I think, be very exciting as we talk about that in further detail. Alan, we need to get into another essential component of organization development, and that is the key term systems. And so, if you would you describe what we're talking about? What do we mean when we talk about systems and systems thinking?
Well, Terry, simply put, a system is essentially defined as is a series of interdependent components. And what do I mean by interdependent components? Well, we look at systems in everyday terms like the nervous system, the legal system, and essentially, or a cooling system in your car. But essentially, a system is a collection of parts which interact with each other to function as a whole. For instance, you wouldn't necessarily, you don't cut up a whole cow and get, 15 different little cows. So a cow composes of a head, its four legs. So, of course, that would be an obvious thing. But so many times we look at church life. The Bible even talks about church as a body. Now, the body in and of itself is probably one of the greatest examples of a system that we can think of. And even our Lord talked in terms of systems thinking, because especially with the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and then we fill roles in different parts of the body, with spiritual gifts and those types of things. And so that's really kind of systems thinking in a nutshell.
Well, Alan, you really threw me for a loop there. I just tried to cut up a cow yesterday, and I couldn't figure out why I didn't get 15 cows out of that. But I think that's a valid and simple illustration, and appreciate that very much. So when we're talking about a system within the church, and the church is the big umbrella word, And the systems within the church would be the leadership system, the Christian Education Committee would be the worship team, and the group of elders. All these are little subunits, aren't they, or systems within the larger system of the church. And so whether you're a pastor or a conflict consultant, to ignore the interrelationship and interdependence of these systems to the larger church umbrella term is to miss a lot of detail and information that can be very helpful in getting the church to where the Lord wants it to be, or analyzing it to help bring resolution and change. Alan, I found that there are basically three ways to look at what's going on in an organization. And one of those is to focus on difficult people. In other words, the approach would be to focus on what people do or don't do, and in particular, antagonists or difficult people. These are the people who are thorns in the flesh, the bees in the bonnet, and who are nuisances to others, people who have an attitude. And in this case, the focus then would be upon these well-intentioned dragons and the difficult people. Another approach that is often used in organizations is the problem-solving approach. And this is where someone would come in, especially in dispute resolution, and ask questions like, what are people fighting about? What decisions need to be made? Mediators want to know what the grievance is. Those sort of things. And that's good and needs to be done. But I think when we talk about systems approach, we're talking about something that is much broader than these specific items. We're talking about things on a larger scale. So a systems approach to the church or to the organization doesn't in any way deny that the difficulties are caused by individuals or that there are problems in the organization that needs to be addressed. But the systems approach observes the reactive patterns or non-conscious agreements or understandings that people have regarding how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to get along. So rather than focus on one aspect, it's looking at the larger picture and seeing how these various systems interrelate to one another. Because, Alan, you and I have talked that some of the problems in the church are because of difficult people, and some are simple problems that need to be resolved. But there are also problems that stem from systemically based on organizational structure and based on how these systems relate to one another.